11 o'clock or just thereafter on a Friday. That means we try and ease our way into the weekend and put to one side all the trials and tribulations of the world and focus on, I suppose, artistic creations of the trials and tribulations of the world via TV, cinema, the stage, podcasts and so on and so forth. We're in the company again this week of our regulars. Fionnuala Rabbit, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Michael Letty, writer and blogger. Hi, Michael.
Hello, good morning.
How are you all keeping? How was your week, Michael?
Good.
You're very busy, good. Busy. You're a busy wee bee.
Busy week again, but that's a good thing. I like busy being busy. Yeah.
And Fionnuala, how was your week?
My week has been fine. Busy now, running around and had a lovely time with a lot of our Highland listeners over in Salou the week before. It was my first time ever on such kind of a long trip like that. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
What
even
was
the weather
highlight?
Was a bit... It just was the whole thing. It really was the people. The people were so amazing. Even when the weather turned at the end, and God knows they hadn't had rain since March. And as soon as the Irish arrived, we had 4 days of good weather. And then the last 2 days was a bit rainy. But the people were amazing. They just really just still had a fantastic time regardless of not being able to lie out. I am not, as I always say, my father tried to teach me how to jive because I really wanted to learn. And he walked off the dance floor and told me it was worse than trying to teach me how to drive.
Have we established if your mother had a good time yet?
No, it's still
she keeps
her
hard cards. She keeps her cards close.
I know,
to her
I think
chest.
She did. She did enjoy it.
Of course she did. Right, okay, that was a week ago now. It's like
I know,
it's
amazing.
Become a distant memory, don't they? We're already looking forward to now. We're already looking forward to one of the next Highland trips. It's a Cavan Country getaway, which I think is great for those who may not want to commit to a week or maybe don't want to go very far.
Yes.
Because you get the sense of what you've enjoyed, right? But you just get it in a different environment. It's actually from the 3rd to the 6th of February. It's the Cavan Country getaway. And Sinead Black's going to be there, Jerry Guthrie, Matt Levy, Olivia Douglas, some call her Douglas, I'm going Douglas now, Jack Keogh, Michael English, Robert Mazzell, David James, all there. Luxury transfers from here to the amazing Slieve Russell Hotel. You'll really feel like you're stepped into a different world.
Absolutely.
Dinner each evening, bed and breakfast, all music and entertainment. And it's $489 per person sharing. You start breaking that down to 3 gigs, 3 meals in a top-class hotel, 3 nights accommodation, 3 nights breakfast, 3 days breakfast. It's incredibly good value. And you don't have to find it all now, actually, because you can ring us here and put a deposit on that. And we just need the money by mid-January, Katie said last week. Or go on to our website, highlandradio.com, for more. So as I say, just whilst you're talking about the experience, flying's not for everyone, but you can definitely get the same buzz from the Salou trip. But in the luxurious surrounds of the Slieve Russell Hotel. So give us a buzz.
A lot of people that come up to me about with the Salou trip and they're like, oh, are you doing anywhere local? Because they don't like, even when we went to Scotland before, a lot of people don't even like to do ferries or, you know.
Yeah, but Cavan's far away whereby you feel like you're going on your holly bobs,
yes,
right?
And the Slieve Russell Hotel is... like top class,
yeah.
And we're
can't believe they're letting us the riffraff in.
I know it is top class. We're also getting, if anybody, just to let people know, we're getting discounts for they have an amazing golf course, they have an amazing spa and swimming pool and gym and all. You know what I mean? The people can avail them, and we're working on. Katie's working away on getting discounts for that as well, so that the people that go there can you know really immerse themselves into the top class hotel experience.
Listen, while we're on the Alex Hamilton is just it sticks in my head. I think it's with the Hamilton trip. Alex Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton.
Is it?
Yes, it is. That's the man's name.
Right, just hear it on the promo. Yeah. Alex Hamilton. Anyway,
that's
go
it.
Ahead.
Alexander Hamilton.
Hey, this is a show that's fully sold out, isn't it?
It is fully sold out all around the country. People are crying out for tickets and sadly, not as much as I thought in Donegal. So I lost the run of myself when I bought the tickets for this because we got them early and we block booked them and I got like about 150 because I thought everybody would want to go and see it. And as it turns out that we have not had the take up of 150. So what I'm saying to people is now you can still come with us if you want. The trip is on October 21st. We do have some places left, but we also have, which so before we give them back to the board got or even try and sell them somewhere else. We do have, we will sell them ticket only if people have their own reasons why they want to go.
Exactly.
You don't want to miss out on this show.
There's the opportunity for the trip as well, because this is, it's sold out in the Borgash.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's on multiple nights.
Yes, it's on for a month.
Yeah. So try and book a ticket, you can't. Try and get a hotel near it, you can't. You know what I mean? But anyway, so the packages are still there, but we are prepared to sell you the ticket as well.
Yes, if somebody wants to go and see it. My only thing that I'll just say is, if you do not see this show, you are definitely going to be missing out. It is an amazing, fantastic experience. It is. It's like when you hear people talking about how they went to see Cats in the 90s. You know, it ran for 10 years. Everybody saw it. It was one of those things. You know, you hear about it even in TV programs and things like that. They talk about it. Like, to go and see this in the original cast at the time was, the tickets were 2,500. And people, it was sold out every single night. It's just an amazing, immersive experience. I know in our family, they're going to see it for the third time. And lots of them are not necessarily show, you know, that they wouldn't go and see every show. It's just fantastic. So I would just say to people, we do have some places on the trip. But if you wanted to just purchase the tickets, we are also doing that as well, because I just don't want people to miss out if they want to go.
Of course not. All right, brilliant. Right, okay, that's great. That's all that stuff done. Would I Lie to You on the BBC is an interesting thing to throw in here, Michael. It's a panel show, effectively.
Yeah, it's a panel show, and I love it. I really find it very, very funny. I think there's a couple of things that are worth. It's on tonight as well. They're doing a repeat run at 8 o'clock on Fridays or whatever. But David Mitchell, who is also in something else I watched this week.
He's funny.
He's very funny. Very, very funny
casually
guy.
Casually funny. I don't know how you... He's
very witty. He's very witty and he's quick-witted. And Lee Mack of Not Going Out is incredibly quick-witted. And Rob Brydon as well, the host of the show. So what I love about the show is that the three guys are really funny. But I was listening to... I started listening to podcasts, which I really was. And I was listening to Rob Brydon's own podcast, Brydon And. It's not on the list, but it'll be on the list at some stage. And he interviewed Lee Mack and Bob Mortimer, who's a regular guest on the show. And they talked about the atmosphere on set. They talked about the real strong friendship between the three men, which I think comes across on camera. They really like each other. They hang out with each other throughout the year because they do, you know, the block film the episodes at a certain time of the year. But they are friends. They hang out. There's a great deal of mutual respect. And when they bring people on like Bob Mortimer, all three of them just look up to him because of the whole thing with Vic Reeves and like Randall and Hopkirk and various things he did years ago. To them, he's like a comedy god. And he's definitely the best.
He is, isn't he?
He's hilarious.
He actually struggles with his health, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He's got heart issues, I believe.
I didn't okay in that, yeah, but I know he struggles with other things.
Yeah, because that comes across in his fishing show with another person. Fnooly, you're shaking your head.
No, it is amazing. What I'm saying, the thing about Bob Mortimer is, have you seen him on the show?
Yes.
He tells
the best stories.
The most outrageous stories.
And they could be true or not.
And it is shocking how many of them turn out.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah.
And I mean, like, he told the story one time about how he set fire to his childhood home. And you're like, the layers around it. You're
it's incredible,
like, oh
yeah. First of all, some of them
are amazing at it. The
other are fantastic. It's on BBC. Full episodes are available on YouTube. And if you're on social media, they have the 4-minute clips are all over Facebook. And the way Facebook's algorithm works is sometime during the summer, I liked one clip. And now I'm getting clips all day. And I'm not complaining.
I think it's good too if people watch a variety of stuff, and sometimes you want stuff that's just a bit of fun.
Oh my God, it makes me laugh. Yeah, it makes you feel good.
You definitely will get laughs.
Because even some of the shows we will discuss are they're intense, emotionally intense.
Yeah.
So it's nice sometimes to have switchy off stuff. Neither of you, that's on tonight, Would I
that's
Lie to You, and broadly available as you heard.
Yeah, broadly.
None of you had a look at or started Murderers, the Mendes story, no? It's on Netflix.
No, you know why?
It's a follow on from the Dharma.
I know, but it's Ryan Murphy.
What do you mean?
It's Ryan, isn't it Ryan Murphy that did it?
I don't know.
You
I
don't
think
normally
it's,
like Ryan Murphy.
I don't.
The guy who does American
you know
Horror
the guy
Story
that did Glee,
right? No, I thought he did the Dharma one. I'm only like 4 deep into it. It's strange.
He's
you know, it's
very
a strange
yeah.
Show.
They're apparently talking about suing Ryan Murphy. For
I know,
it.
And
which I have to say.
But come here, every bone in my body wants to stop watching it and Google the reality of it, why they don't like it, but I can't. And it's 9 episodes long. It's incredibly long.
He does. See, Ryan
it's
does
so
that now,
bloody
and, I
long.
And it's probably very stylized because he does. I'd imagine he normally makes the.
It is, but it's quirky. But it's not quirky like in the meaning of the word quirky. It's kind of disturbing at times, and
well, the actual story is bizarre.
It is
a bit yeah. I can remember back to it. You mean at the time, which was so one
it's
of those
right
ones.
From the very beginning. It's a mom and dad, two brothers.
This is the '90s.
Yeah, two brothers. Yeah. The Hernandez, is it Hernandez Menendez. Brothers, Lyle Menendez. And Eric, I think. And they go in and in brutal circumstances kill their parents, and they. It seems to be somewhat emotionally detached from what they've done. And it seems that is the premise. That's how it's set up. And it seems to be from there they try and give us the background. But there's some very, you know, there's some very intense storylines in it in relation to child abuse and that type of stuff.
It was a big, big story in the 90s.
It was one of the first ones I always remember is, you know, like my memory of it is that it was in or around or not long after the OJ.
OJ,
thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it actually was a televised court.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So and I'm getting to that point. I think
that's my memory of it back in the day.
But the characters are.
Bits of it that you were watching on TV, and it was just like, why am I watching this?
It's all played very straight, but the characters and dialogue. It's shot like it's a comedy that's not funny, but they're not looking for laughs, if you know what I mean. It's hard to describe.
Right.
It's not a comedy drama, but sometimes you get the feeling that it's shot like that, even though there's nothing played for laughs.
So is it quite stylized in the way they do it?
I don't even know what that word means.
Okay, sorry.
Do you remember that show,
it's
the Versace?
It
looks like that.
Okay, what he does. Yeah. That's
what
he
does. That
makes sense. Michael never likes any of his stuff.
I tend not to know. No.
He does things, and it's more about the look of it than it is about the. You know, it's there's more. The substance isn't as important to him as the look.
There's an awful lot of that too. So that's what I mean.
I understand that word a bit better.
I wonder if anyone's watched it. Like, I just don't feel the weight is given to the subject matter, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I don't think there's a weight to some of the stuff that's said, how it's portrayed and stuff. It's maybe that's the best way to describe it. I simply don't know.
Yeah.
Interested if any of you've watched it though. 086 60 25,000. A listener says, saw Alexander Hamilton fab show, says the listener. It's one of those, and I think it comes across in your voice is that you don't want people to miss out on something they're gonna love.
The thing is that I mean, I say this, you know, like I brought my daughter to see Les Mis going, oh my god, it's so amazing, and she turned to me and went, is there no talking? And I was like, oh god, I'm gonna divorce her. But this is not that kind of show in the sense that people that wouldn't normally think of themselves as being show people, you know, like they'd like to go and see shows, that would like to see Les Mis or would like to see Anthony else, love this because of the speed of it, because of the music is very modern in it. You know, the storyline is very interesting in it because it is about the birth of America and that kind of thing. There's some lighter moments in it. And really, that's what it's about. It's just all about the cast and the character and that kind of thing.
Hmm. All right. So if you've watched it, Hamilton, let us know what you think of it. But also, if you've finished or well through into that program I referenced there, Monsters. And also another program I watched during the week was, it's a documentary, it's new on Netflix as well, Into the Fire, The Lost Daughter. I don't do reviews on this stuff. It's a two-part yoke. It's quite entertaining. I enjoyed it. I'll be interested if one of you watch it and we can talk about it in more detail.
Is it a crime one or just broadly?
It's about a mother who gives her child up for adoption.
Right. Okay.
And when she was very young, and then she tries to make contact with her daughter. And then she discovers that her daughter has been missing. She went missing at 14.
Oh my god.
So it then becomes her trying to investigate what happened to her daughter.
Oh, wow.
So not trying to reconnect as in a story we're quite familiar with, particularly in this country, but it then becomes her trying to track down what happened to her daughter.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of those documentaries that through it, it has sort of wow moments. You know what I mean? If you don't know the story, it has. It's one of those documentaries Into the Fire, The Lost Daughter. There's a couple of reveals in it or things in it that make it stand out as a very good documentary.
Check it out again.
Now, some of the characters, like the mom herself, didn't really warm to her. If you know what I mean. But it's a good story. Well done. And loads of producers without microphones as well, if you like that kind of thing.
Oh, normally you're bugged. I'd like to know, has anybody seen Shojun?
Shogun?
You know, on...
Sounds like you're drunk and you're describing shotgun.
Well, I'm probably saying it wrong.
Shogun!
Yeah, well, no, what they...
The TV series,
yeah,
it?
But they pronounce it more Jun rather than Gun.
Well, we always call the old one
it's on. I thought it was well it was Shogun. Until
yeah,
well,
that's the...
It's on Disney.
Yes.
It seems to have an Asian thing to it. It seems to be a little bit thick, but it cleaned up in the Emmys.
Yeah, it won everything.
And
yeah.
I mean, cleaned up in the Emmys. And I'm like, should I be watching the show?
Yeah, Shoshan.
But do you remember the original?
No, how dare I? You think I'm as comic book nerdy as you? No, I had a life.
This was a big,
I had a life as a teenager.
This was a big miniseries. In
we
the
were
80s.
Boozing and smoking.
I had,
all right?
I had friends.
Boozing and smoking. We
I
didn't have
friends.
Time for comics.
Yeah, there is a disco in my town. But no, I definitely didn't know. Oh, no, I've never seen the... But it just... It came up in the Emmys. I think it got something like 16 or 17 Emmys. It got 14 out of the background cast. You know when they do the day before, they do like the actual...
Technical award, yeah.
Like 14 out of them, and then it's still got like 3 or 4 or 5 of the...
And Baby Reindeer did quite well as well.
Baby Reindeer did amazing in it.
I thought it didn't get recognition at the TV awards in the NTAs in England. I was like, I wonder why
is that
going
because
on
of
there?
The threatened court cases and that kind of thing? Because I was wondering in the Emmys if it was going to get it when I saw it was nominated, but it cleaned up over
I've
there.
Noticed he started changing a little bit of his language around the factual... elements of that story. You know, that it's his dramatic interpretation rather than actual. So interesting, because she's now launched a multi-billion euro case in America. Hi gang, did you watch The Boy That Never Was? It's a four-parter on RTE1. It was excellent, a lovely twist at the end. And Dead and Buried, another four-parter on TV3. It was gripping, but I didn't like the end. Have a nice day. I love the end of your message. The Boy That Never Was, they think it was very good and enjoyed the ending. And ending is so important to me.
Yeah.
Also enjoyed Dead and Buried, another four-parter, this on TV3, but they didn't like the ending. But that's subjective, isn't it?
Of course, subjective. Okay. I'm aware of the RTE when I've heard the trailers. They pops up a lot. So beyond that, I know nothing about it. I didn't know it was a four-parter, so that makes it... possible.
It started before I was aware of it, and then I missed it.
Okay.
To be on the player, though.
I cannot do the player.
You
hate
the player.
It's too painful.
Yeah, but the Virgin Media player is all right.
Yeah, the Virgin Media.
But the only problem
is,
if you try and fast forward into a show, like say for instance Coronation Street in Riverdale, it just has a breakdown.
It doesn't want to do that.
You can do it, but then it will just stop looping on ads, and eventually you never want to look at the car that it keeps showing you. If you know what I mean, it's just loop. That being said, I think it was updated recently, so we'll give it another go. But it is actually a great resource, the Virgin Media app.
Yes, it is.
I think okay. Lots more from Michael and Fionnuala and you at home, at work, or wherever you are today. If you want to talk about anything, 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. And what I love about coming into this hour, there's like a shift change on the social media. It's like you can see like a group of people that, you know, going on with the rest of the day, and then another group of people that feel like they don't watch anything else on the show except this, which I think is lovely. It shows that we're appealing to a broad dynamic. All right. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and we're in the That's Entertainment section here on the programme. I want to give a mention to the Donegal Hospice Remembrance Service, which is taking place on Sunday, the 29th of September. So that's Sunday this weekend. It's in the Irish Martyrs Church, Letterkenny, and runs at 2:30 p.m. Everybody is welcome. And this service is for all who passed away under the care of Donegal Hospice, at home, in the hospice, hospitals and nursing homes. Refreshments will be served in the conference room afterwards. So if you feel you're at a point in your life where you want to attend something like this with other people, then you will very much hopefully get some comfort. And if not, that enjoyment from the Donegal Hospice Remembrance Service, which takes place on Sunday, the 29th of September in the Irish Martyrs Church, Letterkenny, at 2:30 p.m. And everybody is welcome. Listeners watching Outlander at the minute, it's excellent. And that listener, in fact, is Kathleen. Thanks, Kathleen, for that. Michael.
Yes.
Is she falling off the chair there?
Yeah, she's got tied up. She's a busy woman. I'm sure she walks out, and I'm sure there's like someone has
the only guest that would get away with it.
I know, honestly, of course. It's strange, isn't it?
I'd have a full hissy fit otherwise.
You!
I can't believe it. I'm a diva.
Can't believe that.
I know. That's not true,
ladies and gentlemen. It's not true.
I want to give a mention to Only Murders in the Building. It's ongoing on Disney.
Yes. this is the fourth season of this.
How far? It's all out there now, or are they still doing
it weekly? They do one a week. They drop one a week, so there's like four episodes in or whatever. Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez, and an all-star cast, including just an all-star cast. It brought in new people. The thing about this show is it's comedy drama, and I honestly think it's getting better every year. I think four seasons in, you would think they would be, you know, straining to credibility to continue to have murders in the building in one way or another. And yet, I can honestly say it is ingenious how they do it. I think this one, based alone on the first episode, I've seen the second episode as well, but it's ingenious what they've done this time. Mm-hmm. And the backstory and the characters in the other tower, the other half of the building, it's the show gets better. And it's already been picked up now for a fifth season, so we're definitely getting another season next year. And it's one of those shows, this is something that was remarked upon in an article I read during the week, very few of these streaming shows deliver a full season every year anymore. Only Murders does, The Bear does. Most shows do this thing of doing a season every year, 2 years, 3 years, this kind of crack. But Only Murders is consistent, and it's funny, and it's clever, and every season so far, at the end, it has delivered a very clever explanation for who the murderer is and how the murderer did it. And I have no doubt season four will do the same. And it certainly seems to be excelling itself at this stage. And it's just delightful. It's a wonderful show.
I've been conditioned to the point now whereby I cannot, and I'm not even going to try anymore, is watch things weekly.
Oh, okay.
It is, for me now, the only option I've been conditioned is to watch it at my leisure, as they say in America. I am not investing anything into that comes every week. So anyway, I don't know if Netflix wanted to hear that, but you have it anyway. Only Murders in the Building, ongoing in Disney. It's a good one to actually start with. Go ahead.
94% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and 93%. Yeah,
It is universally loved.
People love it. Yeah.
And they've
people
got great cameos, but they're not just they're in context, aren't they?
Yes.
They're not just sort of
Even from the first series, you know, it turned out Sting was living in the building, and at one point he becomes the prime suspect. And you see them trying to think how are they going to interview Sting, because Sting actually plays himself in it. But there's loads of people pop up in this as actual characters in it. And
like Eva Longoria is part of the people that are brought in this season playing a version of themselves, and she's so funny. Like
she's a good comedic actress.
Yes,
Zach Galifianakis is in it.
Is in it as well, or is it Jack Black?
Yeah,
that's.
It's a little in joke there if you haven't watched it.
It's in the trailer. It's in the trailer too.
It's still an in joke.
It's still an in joke. Sorry.
Inspector George Gently on Netflix.
Oh.
Yes, I just wanted to put this out for people because some people may have missed it. And if a lot of people are like me and they like a long format detective show.
I do.
This is the original series.
This is the original, with Martin Shaw and Lee Ingleby play. Martin Shaw plays Inspector George Gently. There is, I think there's four series of it, and there's about four or five episodes in each one. It's on Netflix. It has recently dropped kind of last month or whatever, but so many of them are coming to an end. You know, even Midsummer Murders, they don't do as many as they used to do. The series aren't as long. It's impossible to get them on. They seem to be very slow going to Virgin Media anymore, whatever is going on. They're on series 23, I think, now. But, you know, Vera is slowly coming to an end. Sadly, Brenda Blehyn can't hoist herself up into the Jeep as much like she used to as Vera. And now they only do three episodes per series. Yep. So you're like, that's definitely winding down.
Newer shows are like, MacDonald and Dodds only does three feature-length episodes. And that's a new show. They've done four seasons. I'm like,
amazing.
I would watch six of those. Like, they're great
100%.
Fun. They're great fun.
So they're little stories.
Yes, they are. They're first of all, they're a set of characters that are set back in like the 50s. Yeah. So it's kind of like post-war. So the older, everybody that's older in it has kind of got World War II trauma. And then the younger guys are like, oh, why are you like that? So you have Martin Shaw, and Martin Shaw it's a typical kind of a detective thing. He was with the Met in London and, you know, he was rooting out corruption and he wouldn't get involved in the corruption. So eventually they kind of shipped him off down the country. And he ends up in, I think it's like Cumbria or something that it's set in. And it's just basically then it's just a set of long format stories. Mm. But it also then is there's a lot of character development in it as well. You know what I mean? So you're getting their kind of personal stories as it's going along, learning a little bit more about them and what happens. Things go back and forth then in time. They're just really well done.
No, I've never heard of it before.
Oh, it's so... Oh, God, you should definitely give it a try now. The stories are really well done. There's a lot of them that are very kind of culturally set in the time, and it's interesting to see how things are done, you know.
Would this be a good little, you know, a little bit of side action for me to watch on my own, or is it so good that I should watch it with others?
Well, it depends. I suppose it depends on who the others are and what they like. I mean, it's not
Ashley.
It's very. Oh, yeah. Well, no. You
invite me round.
Like, yeah, this? I mean, what's, exactly.
Watching together, right? But I like a little side hustle.
Side hustle, yeah.
Which Monsters is my side hustle. At
yeah,
the moment.
These are very kind of. They're a bit long for that kind of thing. You know, these are very like I think with the gently and that kind of thing. And Sylvie just. You know, you kind of, on a rainy Saturday or whatever, you'd sit down and kind of watch it. That kind of an idea.
They're like 90 minutes without ads. And that would, they're 2 hours, so it's 90 minutes straight through.
So it's just, I mean, the stories are always very interesting. There's not a lot of blood and guts or any, you know what I mean? There's none of that kind of gore in it. It's really more about the characters.
Right.
And it's, you know, and even with the murders and that, some of the stories are a little bit harrowing. You know,
that's fine.
But
life's harrowing. So
yeah, I liked it.
On the streaming format, it's 3 half-hour episodes, is it?
No, it's the full episode.
It's a feature.
They're feature
length.
All right, because I've got
movies.
10 half. Oh, sorry, nobody wants this. That's a different
thing. Yeah, that's a different one, yeah.
I see you've obviously just completely done away with punctuation.
It's on the next line, like.
There's no
it's
punctuation.
On the next line down.
Inspector George Gently, Martin Shaw, Lee Ingleby. Nobody wants this, Christine Bell, Adrian Brody, 10
yeah,
half hour episodes.
That's a different episodes. Show. It's on the next line down, like.
Is this the material I have to work with?
Oh,
all right, okay. So that's good. Inspector George Gently. I will. I'm going to watch one of those. Tomorrow's going to be wet.
I think they're very good. Now you know they're of a time, but they are very good. Their books are really well written. So that's kind of
there was an original TV series. There was an older TV series back in the day.
I noticed when I was just looking for some footage to play out there that there seems to be. I don't know if. There seems to be a Spanish language version. I don't know which came first, whether was a remake of this, but there's another George Gently and...
And there was one back in the 80s.
George Gently was an ITV. Written by an English person, so they're probably the English one.
And the original TV, there was an old TV series like 25, 30 years ago as well. Right.
But this is relatively recent.
It's production, by the sound of what you were saying. This one with Martin Shaw, is it?
Oh, well, the Martin Shaw is in it. So, I mean, it's probably about 10, 15 years old.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I mean, how long is the likes of Prison Break and The Wire? They must be 20-odd years old.
They are 20-something, The Wire,
Right, okay, let's take a quick break. We're going to be back with much more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. Steve says, George Gently is brilliant, as is... Endeavour. So George Gently seems to be a little bit of a sleeping giant for many, well, for me in any case. Hi, Greg and the TV too. You're all looking fan-dabby-doozy. By the way, did you know it's National Compliments Day? Which means that compliment feels shallow.
It does.
It was going so good until...
Of course.
Thanks for taking that away from us, Greg. Thanks for doing that.
Yes, I do agree that What I Lied to You is hilariously funny. Look up Kevin Bridges on whether he's lying about accidentally buying a donkey in Spain.
Oh, that's so good. I know
Or any of them when so David Mitchell's wife, Victoria Corin Mitchell, is on it.
She's amazing.
And Lee is hilarious about it.
Yeah. And Claudia Winkleman telling the story about all her stories. She's like a female Bob Mortimer. Her stories are crazy.
I can't
the spiders,
get past the fringe.
The spiders. Oh, I love the fringe.
She blinked. The eyelashes are constantly making the fringe move. I don't,
love it.
I don't understand.
Gorgeous.
It.
It's gorgeous. You're just jealous.
I don't get it. I've never gotten it.
But she's telling a story about going to a spider's aversion thing. And her story is all over the place. And Lee Mack is like, just tell me one thing that happened. Tell me one thing. And she's like, we had a lovely lunch.
They go on to say, yes, Lee Mack is always talking about David's friends, including stories about his wife, Victoria Corin Mitchell, BBC Two quiz host, and who's actually a professional poker player.
Yes.
Also, when McFly... on trying to explain the toy show with Rod Stewart badly. That comes in from Kevin from Dunlow, who's actually sent links in. Kevin, thank
Brilliant.
You. I think you've exceeded yourself in terms of research this week. Righty-o, what if she's prettier than me?
Is
a question I never feel I have to ask myself. But it is the title of a podcast you've been listening
to. Yeah, it's a one-episode podcast from about 2 weeks ago. And basically, I'll read the blurb and then we can go from that. So would you bring a third person into your relationship?
A thruple.
Yes, polyamorists do this. So
I think polyamorists go beyond the three.
And they can do. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, exactly. So basically, this is a very interesting one-hour podcast where they interview some people who are living the polyamorous lifestyle, and they talk about how they got into it, the practicalities of it, and how it's working out for them. And they also have some people in the podcast who are not in that lifestyle but are talking about it in, like, how would that possibly work? And there is also an expert who talks about the fact how in many cases it's really healthy for a relationship. Well, of course,
it's not.
Because anyone, any couple...
See, this is us trying to make lifestyle decisions that suit us.
Yes.
Right. And then trying to find some sort of psychological way to justify it.
To justify it, okay.
Right, so if you are in a relationship with more than one person, and with everyone has full knowledge, okay?
Yes.
There is serious... Firstly, I defy both parties to be as secure as to not care, right?
Yes.
And secondly, it talks of your own insecurities that you can't fulfill someone's emotional and physical needs.
Yes.
And in this day and age, with everything being so woke and all that kind of stuff, it's just... people can't call it out for what it is, and they have to sit there and listen to some sort of rationale as to why it makes sense.
One of the things
it doesn't make sense.
One of the things that they do say as well that comes out, and I mean,
in
that's
my opinion,
like,
by the way,
of course, yeah. But in the show, that's covered. But they also say so many people are just having affairs anyway. This is the other side where instead of secretly going behind your partner's back, this is somebody saying, "Look, this is what I need to do. Do you want to do it as well?" And they look at that, because if you accept that people are having affairs...
That sounds to me like coercive control.
Go on.
It does.
Well, in that, you can imagine the partner, and I would say 99 times out of 100, a male partner would try and deconstruct their other half to the point whereby they would accept that it is good for all of them, for three of them.
Most of the people interviewed in this episode, or in the show, are... like,
who instigated it, the man or the woman?
The woman.
Instigated it.
They talk
the word begins with C. There is a whole group of other male individuals that actually derive the pleasure from seeing their partner.
Oh, there is.
Having a friendly conversation with somebody.
No, they
else.
Have a couple.
That's a whole.
They have a couple interviewed.
Other interest.
And they talk about how they started. They say it started one night with a conversation. He says that she started talking about this, and she said, "Get your phone. They want to look at Tinder." And he says, "I never ran to get my phone so fast in my life." He didn't expect any of this. And they talked then about the practicalities of organising dates with multiple people.
Or female people?
She sees men, and he sees women.
But why are they together then? I don't understand.
They love each other. Listen to it.
It's disrespectful.
They don't. They don't.
Yeah.
They've contorted the word love, as often many words in our... They've contorted the word love to match their scenario.
It's
a justification.
It's worth listening to them first.
No, I've listened to this. I watch lots of stuff and I read lots of information.
Yeah, okay. Well,
right?
I wasn't.
And what we do now is to try. We try and normalise the abnormal.
Yes.
In this regard, right? Abnormal seems like
is there such a thing as normal for anything?
Of course there is.
There's a social convention.
Okay. Right, here's the thing.
Social convention and normal are not the same.
Here's the social convention.
They're not the same thing.
Here's the social convention. How could you, without having a negative impact on a child, bring a child into
that relationship? Oh, they talk about the children. Yeah, they talk about children.
But how could you, without it having any negative impact on that child? You couldn't. But you as an adult could put your feelings first and you could say this is normal. But the truth is, and the only way the ripples really start to ripple out is if you bring a child into that situation and then maybe bring a child into another situation and then you try and explain one child's relationship to another's child. Adults are far too quick now to put themselves forward. And
only works if marriages don't break up in this country. They do all the time. There is no idea.
How can you use the breakdown of a relationship to justify a completely different type of relationship?
But it's like you're measuring what these people are doing against an idealized situation.
Adults do is up to them. They can go into a room and they can all throw the car keys in a bowl in the middle of the table.
It's worth pointing out as well that in this documentary, not all polyamorous
on children.
Not all polyamorous are married.
Well, not all parents are married.
Yes, but the people, I know there's a poly...
Fanula, I want your view on this.
Yeah, but they're not all married.
I wouldn't. I would... assume that the majority of people that introduce polyamory into their relationships are men.
No.
I may be wrong.
I've only listened to this.
And I would just take that purely on the whole thing is the most famous person that I know that's in a polyamorous... And I say I know, I don't actually know.
Yes,
personally. But the most famous person that you can think of that's in a polyamorous relationship Tilda Swinton.
Oh, okay.
Will Smith is technically not in a polyamorous relationship. His wife
is.
She just does her own thing.
Yeah.
A polyamorous relationship is more that the three of you are in a relationship. You know what I mean? If you're in a relationship with somebody and then you have external relationships, that's not necessarily polyamorous. Yeah. Is more that you're like Tilda Swinton is in a polyamorous relationship, as in she's married to two men, I think, wherever she lives in the world. She has two men that live in the same house as her.
Right. Well, there was no one like that in the documentary. Like,
you have the cake.
That's a polyamorous relationship. What you're talking about is your permission to just cheat on each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you want your cake, right? Not you. What? You want your cake and you want to eat it.
I'm more of a chocolate than cake.
Exactly.
Really.
And then what you do is you try and say, well, this is. Like, there is a social construct, right? And things become unnormal when there's something that goes away, that fundamentally goes away, goes against it. Because then, as I say, when other people, babies or whatever, are brought into it right at that point. I don't think this applies to a lot. People might think that I'm talking about a lot of different things. I'm actually speaking very specifically about this. That I just feel that it's like I want everything I want, and I'm going to convince you that you want everything that I want as well. And I would love to see an interview with three 80-year-old people who have been in a polyamorous relationship.
Yes.
Right? And then reflect on their life and say, you know what, it was fantastic growing old together with yous five.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Not young people in the moment, in a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
If you really want to judge this, you have to look at it over the long haul.
It has to tap into your insecurities.
How
because
couldn't it?
I mean, like, first of all, like, if I'm married, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Greg and I are in a relationship.
We've been in a relationship for
X number of years. Yeah. And Greg suddenly comes home with the 19-year-old.
You go, well, why is she 19?
Well, I'm just saying.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, and then all of a sudden, like, why? What am I?
Am I too old?
Am I too old? And you're younger.
I would say
there's a
couple of things I would say. First of all, some of what you're saying is addressed in the documentary, but some of what I honestly feel like you're reviewing something you haven't heard.
No, I'm reviewing polyamory.
Yeah, you're reviewing your lifestyle choice. Yeah. I can only speak from the documentary, but none of what, like,
I feel like I can't watch the documentary, listen to the documentary.
Nobody can. It's a podcast.
I know, but I don't think I can because I think it's going to be like Love is Blind or one of those things. I'm just going to want to step into it.
I found it interesting.
Smack them in the back of the head and say, cut yourself off.
I come down very much on the side of a lot of this is none of my business, so I'm quite open to whatever people want to do.
Oh, no.
Doesn't affect me unless they're doing it on my kitchen table or in front of my television when I'm trying to watch Ludwig.
I think people can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah,
they're
not
doing
any harm.
And they do it.
I think the kids thing is very good, but the kids thing comes up in it. And they talk about what do you do on Christmas Eve if you're in a marriage and you are seeing other people. What do you do? And they talk about how that feels.
There is no way that you could frame that. That it wouldn't have an impact on a child, for example. Yeah.
But what about a childless couple?
We're talking about adults can do what adults do. Adults do whatever the hell they want to do.
But even in that circumstance, there's no way nobody's not being hurt.
Right? Yes.
So you will see in society now whereby things are completely normalised. In people that move in that circles, certain things are overrepresented, right? So, you know, a lot of children who were raised in polyamorous relationships would probably end up having the same relationship.
Because they feel it's the thing to do.
That's because that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That is just the way it is. You know what I mean? There's lots of... I don't want to conflate that with other social issues, and I hope people aren't. This is very... I'm commenting very specifically.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because I would actually be quite liberal and live and let live and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the people that... For you to have it all, right? For you, we'd all love to have it all, wouldn't we? But you have to make... We all make life decisions.
Yes.
I made a decision not to go to Dublin to work, right? Because I thought it would be best that I would be here to raise my family.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody,
that's
a
decision I made, and I did that. If then I decided to have multiple partners, if they would play ball, you know what I mean? That would be me putting myself forward, because there's no way I could insulate the children from it.
From that, like,
some
level
or other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
I did think it was a very good documentary, and I did enjoy listening to it.
And it sparked a conversation.
It sparked a great conversation, but it was very interesting because it's... I have crossed paths with people who are polyamorous socially in my life, but they were single, the two people I'm thinking of in different times, at different times. So it was very interesting to hear couples talking, like a married couple talking about how it started, how they're managing it, how it goes, how it feels, and to hear experts who said, as I said, that it can be very positive. But in the documentary, there is also the side that you guys are representing. There are people who say...
It's like a lot of things. I think you have to fully explore that this is not a sticky plaster for something else that's going on in your
life. Oh, yeah, of course,
You know, whether it's to do with your...
I think organically people will know whether it's for them or not. I think organically. But there is a very valid point I thought made that if you have a situation where a lot of marriages are just false in the sense that one or one of the other partners are cheating anyway... Is that something to aspire to?
But you're presuming if you go out with another person that you won't cheat, right? So what about then? It's the two, right? And you go, well, I would cheat on my first partner anyway, so I'm going to get a second partner. Does that mean you're not a cheat? Of course, after about 6 months, you go, oh, these two are doing me head in. I'm going to get a third. Like, where does it end? The presumption is that if you can't stick with one person, you can stick with two. No, because that's a trait that you would have to have.
I don't know, who has the energy for it, in fairness? That's my...
That's literally
energy.
No, but that's what comes up in the documentary as well.
Emotional control can be between a man and a woman, a man and a man, women and women and whatever. I would just like to fully ascertain that that's not what's happening here.
Yes.
That someone is not emotionally controlling someone to accept something. And I've seen these programs where they go to a hotel, right, and they want to try this out.
Yes.
And one partner's dead keen for it, and then all of a sudden the other partner becomes all of a sudden quite... You described it, Fanula, as insecure and what have you.
Yeah.
Right, listen, we have to take a break. Back after these. Texter says, this has all gotten very serious, lol. But sure, you never know. That's the reason we engage with podcast, TV programs and what have you. Certain types of ones. It is to challenge us, isn't it? And challenge our perceptions. And that's why these podcasts are created, honestly. Yeah.
The worst thing would be to be passive. Like, if you're just sitting there...
I agree with you.
Just kind of.
Right, okay.
That's great. Great chat.
Right. Me and Fanula, a little later on, are heading down to Cancer Care West because thanks to all of your support with the Donegal Camino, we really didn't do much, although it was quite a walk, wasn't it, Fanula?
You loved it, Fanula. Fanula loved it. Caroline is still on my list. You haven't forgiven her.
So we raised... all of us raised over €7,000 for Cancer Care West.
It was amazing.
€1,000 of that coming from Highland Radio, the good offices of Fanula Rabbit, which is very generous, Fanula. Fair play to you.
Oh, no, not
and the
fam, people were.
The family am. So great, we're going to get on. We've cut a check. You know, we cut a check for 7,168, and we're going to get on later on and give it over to them on behalf of all of the wonderful listeners to Highland Radio. And listen, Fanula, thank you so very much for calling in to us today, as always.
Not at all.
The short walk from the office. Michael, your long walk up the hill. Thank you very much indeed.
Great fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting into it.
I love that kind of stuff. All right, then. That is the 9 till noon show. We'll be back with you bright and breezy Monday morning from 9. Have a great weekend, everyone, and stay tuned. We've got a world of entertainment for you between now and then, and we've got fantastic programming right over the weekend as well, which is proven by the fantastic listenership our weekend guys have. So stay with us here on Highland Radio, and we'll be back with you on Monday, as I say, at 9.